as an attendee, our clerk, I should say, as an attendee, and we're also recording the meeting for the club.
Okay, because I don't, my computer doesn't show her. There's Kevin, hello? If he can hear me, I'll just wait for Kevin before I say anything. Hello, Kevin, I see you. We're about to start the meeting. Okay, I just want to verify, I don't see the recorder, so, but she's there. Okay, there she is.
Oh, no, there she is.
This meeting is being recorded.
She's important. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and start it now. Recall the meeting to order. The first thing we have to do is elect the Board of Finance Chair and Vice Chair. So at this time, I will take a motion for the chair.
This is Andrew. I'd like to make a motion that nominate Ken Humphrey for Chair of the Canton Board of Finance.
Okay, Andrew's.
Second.
And Katie Kennedy has seconded that motion. Now for the discussion. Is there any discussion, any input? I see Sarah's hand.
I'd like to also endorse Ken. Ken has been a very level-headed member of the board for long before I've been on the board, and I think he'll make a great chair. And you know, it is tradition to have the winning party be able to have the chairmanship, and he's following in Jen Rodkamp's footsteps, and Jen did a really good job. The only comment I want to make is I know that usually parties like to have the vice chair be of the same party, and I just want to say that one of the pleasures of working on this board has been, it's really been nonpartisan. And I look forward to continuing that way with Ken, that it's really, it's not about whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an unaffiliated, it's about the town of Canton. It really has nothing to do with state or national politics. So I hope we'll continue in that vein, but that's been a really good theme we've had for as long as I've been on the board and before that, and I hope we continue that way. So Ken has my full support.
Thank you, and thank you, Katie. Any other comments from the board members? Okay, seeing none, we're now going to vote. Those of you I can see, you can raise your hand. Andrew, you're going to have to do it audibly. So we'll take the vote now.
This is Andrew, I say aye.
Okay, the vote is 5. I will abstain because it is me. So it's 5-0. So thank you, all of you, for your support. Sarah, thank you for your kind words. You and I do think along the same line about this board. It is very important to this town that we very much cooperate with each other on this. With this, we're going to go now step into the vice chair. I'm going to have a motion for the vice chair, and I'm going to nominate Andrew Lavery as the vice chair for the Board of Finance. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, Tom has seconded that motion. Now for the discussion. Does anybody wish to discuss or say anything? Not seeing any, I will just add the reason I did Andrew, because he's been on the board, he's been very active on certain things, and I think he can step in for those days that I can't make it. And we all know that primary job of the vice chair is to fill in the chair who can't make the meeting. So, discussion is closed. I will now take the vote. Andrew, you don't need a vote. Again, you voice or raise a hand for Andrew at this time. Okay.
Andrew, right. Abstain.
Yeah, you can abstain.
Make it official.
Right, make it abstain. Okay, so I see the vote again was 5-1 abstention for Andrew for being vice chair. With that part of the business meeting being done, I'm now going to move into the public. I do not have any emails from the public. So Bob, have you heard anything from the public? I do not see anybody on my screen from the public who called in.
No, there's no attendees from the public. I don't have any comments. Bill, do you have any?
I didn't receive any comment. There is a gentleman in the room though. I don't know if you see him.
Yeah, that's John Fitz. He's the reporter.
Okay.
If the reporter would like to make a comment, he's free to raise his hand at any time. Not seeing his hand, I assume he's here to observe and not to comment.
Okay. All right, I'm going to close the public partaking of this meeting. Now I'm going to move into our reports. So, Bill, I'm going to turn it over to you for the highlights in the package that I have not opened yet. Just realized that.
Thank you, Ken. So I'll get started with the town of Canton financial highlights. The year-to-date revenues at 52.96 have budgeted compared to last year at this time at 52.92, so it's right in line. Tax collections, which is budgeted at 99%, is doing very well, currently at 56.16 of budgeted. Investment income will continue to underperform throughout the year. I'm still estimating a less than 50% collection of interest revenues, where the building and license and permits continue to outperform. We're right now at 73.52% at $154,000. I'll move on to the expenses for the town of Canton. Anyone has any questions?
Thank you. I was trying to get my package open and they kept closing them. Don't ask me why. I don't have any questions on the expenses right now. I didn't flag anything. Does anybody else on the board? Sarah, I see your hand.
I just want to ask a simple answer to this one. The private duty police officer encumbrance of 9261. The reason why it's private duty is because of the fees.
Yeah, it's collection of the fees. That'll be offset.
Okay.
I'll give some highlights on the expenses, though. There's a few items I want to just outline. Year-to-date, we're at 51.6% of budget compared to last year at 53.1%. You'll notice that in the prior months, we had some overages in many of the salaried and full-time line items that has since gone away, the majority. Because we have applied the contingency, which is the rate of increase for the current year. Yes.
Sorry, on that, could we get the percent increases that went in for that? Were they budgeted or were those things that were negotiated and that are new and were not in the previous budget?
No, I can answer that. There's two pieces to that. One is union negotiations. Because the DPW union contract had not been negotiated yet, so that was put into contingency. The other piece of that is non-union wages. Those increases are determined usually around July 1st, August, in that time frame, and are based on merit. So we do a evaluation of every employee. I can tell you that by far, the average was 2.75% is what most employees receive.
Just going into the next budget cycle, I think it would be very helpful for us to get the percent increases on things so that we understand, what kind of additional money we should have in the budget for those positions, and we can think seriously about where we're going to get the revenue to cover increases from.
Yeah, as part of this next budget cycle, we will have a salary survey for you. So you can see what similar towns are paying the same staff that we have. And so we get some idea of where we are as compared to those towns. It has been difficult. We've lost a lot of staff this year. And if we're going to maintain them, we're going to have to pay them. So part of that process is doing the salary survey.
Thank you. And I noticed that in your notes with the Board of Selectmen, that we have not yet had success with the assessor position. Is that still the case, or have you found someone?
No, that is still the case. Just to give you a little background, quick background on that. If you were to look on the Connecticut Assessor Association website, there are 28 towns approximately that are currently looking for assessors. Out of those towns, three of them are looking for multiple people within that same assessment department. Some of those towns have been looking for assessors since June, and since September, It's a total of 9 towns have hired assessors. So that gives you an idea of the pressure out there, just the amount of assessors they have versus the amount of positions and why it's been so difficult for us to find one. We did at the last Board of Selectmen approve getting an assessment technician. So if we can't find a full-time assessor, then what we would do is we would keep a part-time assessor and then hire a full-time assessment technician to cover the office. We did that for several years while our current assessor went through got her certification, and we basically go through that same process again. So we have a couple of different options out there, but I can tell you, we've put it out, it's been out now for about 8 weeks or more, and we've gotten a total of 3 applicants. All 3 of which we did offer the bid to, and all 3 stayed with their current employer, I believe, after getting an increase.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I'll move on. So as with you mentioned the encumbrance for the police private duty to be offset, the same goes for the dial ride too. You'll see 8,732 overage, that'll be offset as well. You'll also see in the police department equipment, there's their exceeding budget in their equipment line item for about $19,261. That's due to encumbered cameras purchase. Now that's going to be offset with grant funds, estimated around February, March, I believe. So that'll go away. Just thinking what else would be noteworthy here. You still will see, just keep in mind, for the tax collector, finance officer, there's many line items that we have a shared service for the rest of the town. So they do appear as an overage throughout each quarter until the quarter is over. And then we allocate that expense out. So those are not true overages. On the expenses, does anyone have any additional questions?
The only thing I have, I myself have flat highlighted in here, and it's more curiosity because it's something, you know, it already happened to me, but the tree care, I know it's not much money, it's $30,000, but we're over it already, and this is almost the end of December, so we still have time for ice storms and other things. And I know I'm part of that because I had a tree come down. Are we aware of this, I should say, of looking at this on the tree? I assume this is for trees that break and fall in the roads and stuff like that.
I think we had a couple aspects to this, though. We talked about it previously with the ash trees that had to be removed.
Okay, thank you. All right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Are the ash trees separate from normal storm damaged trees?
No, it was that, I'm trying to think of the natural.
It's the emerald ash borer.
There you go.
It's killing trees.
Shocking.
Yeah. I have a whole bunch of dead ones, so I've been thinking about it a lot.
We did have to take down a lot of trees that we were hoping wouldn't die, but did die. But the point's still a good one, and we budgeted money for tree removal in here in December, and we may still have a lot of trees go down. So I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Skinner came back to us in March or April.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I'm flagging it
I did discuss that with Robert Martin, Director of Public Works. He is aware of it. There might be some funding in there that needs to be. I think there's about 7,000 that may come out of there and be put towards the bridge, because there was a we had to actually take down some of the dead trees around town bridge, and DOT refused to fund part of that, and so we had no choice. We took them down. I think we used that tree money, but I think that may be reimbursed because we're going to take it out of the town bridge funds. So I think there may be about 7,000 coming back into that account, which will help. But even at that, you're right. But at the end of the year, we may very well be over. One thing about the ash trees, one thing we've had very, very good success in is we've been coordinating, taking down the trees with EverSource. We've gotten EverSource to take down a lot of those dead ash trees. In fact, for every dollar we spend, I think they spent about 10. So we've been, you know, working with them to try to get them to kind of help us take them down. We've been able to get quite a few of those down. But if you drive around town, there's still an awful lot that are diseased and ready to come over.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I still have one on my property. I'm trying to get my kids to take it down for firewood. So, okay, is there anybody else have any other questions in the expenditures? If not, we'll go down to the special revenue and expenditures funds.
For the special revenue funds, I'll start off with the park and rec. You'll see currently revenues are currently exceeding the expenses by $43,647. There was a payout of the time for someone prior, but we still anticipate ending the year for park and rec with a surplus at this time. The WPCA, yeah. The WPCA revenues currently exceeding expenses by $520,000. I spoke with Roger Ignazi over there, and he's expecting at least $100,000 of surplus at the end of the year. He does fund his own SIP, though. So,
Bill, if I could just point out too, with WPCA, they just received the connection fees.
I know. I'm still on my thunder, Bob.
Go ahead.
I was very excited about that. So sewer assessment, you'll see connection charges not right now showing an additional $275,200 for 3-5 Cherry Brook. So when you offset that with really the only expense in sewer assessment, which is the Dowd Avenue sewer in Burlong, right now, they're looking at an end of year surplus of about $225,000.
All right. Christmas presents to us. Thank you.
Don't worry, I'll take it away. EMS expenses currently exceeding revenues by $125,351. I can't give you exact figures at this time because there is always an ebb and flow with the collection. For a Comstar, but there is more utilization of Vintech versus the volunteers. So, you know, I do anticipate having the expenses exceed the revenues for the year, but I can't give an exact figure. We'll keep a close eye on it.
I know last year at this time we talked about there was extra calls to Cherry Brook, mostly got to do around COVID. I don't know how to word this question. Is that abated this year or not? Are we still getting a lot more calls at Cherry Brook?
I don't think we're getting any more at Cherry Brook than we normally would. No, it's the problem with Vintech is that, you know, it's not a problem with Vintech, it's more a problem with us. We just don't have the volunteers to cover all the different shifts that we would normally cover with volunteers. So if we don't have a volunteer to cover that shift, we have to have somebody available if the ambulance needs to go out, so Vintech comes in. So what happens is Vintech is just covering extra shifts, which then, you know, drives up that line item.
Okay, all right.
Can I ask a question about that? So, Bob, are we doing that on a daily basis or once a week basis, or how often? Basically, they're filling in like subs for us, aren't they?
Vintech covers Monday through Friday, the first 12-hour shift, so 6 to 6.
Okay.
And then they also cover all the time, 365 days, 24 hours a day for the paramedic. So they're covering a great deal of shifts as it is. What happens is volunteers are supposed to cover the second shift and also the weekends. And in particular on a weekend, sometimes we just can't find a volunteer to cover the shift, in which case then we bring Vintech in to cover it.
And how often is that happening?
I'd say it's happening pretty frequently. It looks like right now we're about a month ahead of where we should be in expenditures of Ventech. So that gives you some idea of how much we're over. But I'd say I'd have to go back and look at the bills, but I'm guessing maybe one shift a weekend is being covered by Ventech somewhere in there. And it's not something that's unique to this year. We've had that issue for a couple of years now. And COVID hasn't helped because it's making a little bit harder to find volunteers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Go ahead, Bill. Do you have...
Lastly, I'll do transfer station. So the revenue is currently exceeding expenses by $6,876. The permits are purchased for January. And I guess we get the 10-day grace period. They're looking at $150 per... About 1,100 estimated to come in. So we're looking at 165,000 estimated additional revenues. There's some other factors, but all in all, it's looking like the revenue should closely align with the expenses for transportation.
Okay. That's good. So it's okay. Transfer station. So this takes us down to the doom and gloom investment income. That's on page 35 for those people following.
Yeah, so for investment income, as I stated prior, and you know, we knew this coming into the year, we reduced the budget significantly, but not enough. But just the interest rates have not been done at all. So we are looking at, I would say, I would estimate probably at 45%, we're going to end at the end of the year of percent of budgeted. So more in the, you know, $35,000 to $40,000 range or so.
I do have a note here to myself, and it's got to do with People's Bank. I know we talked about it during the last meeting. We're not pleased with their results. Did you guys have any conversations between last meeting and this meeting?
So we
about what we're going to do about People's.
Yeah, so we put out RFP for investment advisory services. I'm not sure it closes at the end of the month. I haven't seen yet all those that have submitted, but there has been interest and I've fielded a lot of questions on it.
Okay.
I'm not sure, Bob, if you know how many people have replied yet or how many firms.
I don't know if we've gotten any yet, but they usually will come in just before the RFP closes.
Okay. Just for those new people in the meeting here, little quick history on investments. We invest a lot of money with People's. We're not getting the customer service with People's, but we should have for the amount of money we have invested with them. So we're doing what you would do at your normal bank. We are shopping somewhere else. So that's just to let you know what's happening. It's not so much the returns, it's just customer service. This is definitely not, I wouldn't give it, it's not a 3-star out of 5, I'll tell you that. Okay.
All right. It's disturbing because they've got a lot of money from us. You would think they'd be motivated.
I agree with you, Sarah, and that's why I don't have any problems of, you know, moving. Okay, going down, cash investments, account balance is on 36, which should be the extension of the bond and buffalo. That's just going right down the itinerary here.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody has, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure if anybody has any questions. I'll cut to the important stuff. We're at 56.16% for the tax collections currently, and I did speak with the tax collector. She's feeling confident that we're going to hit that mark. And lastly, the unassigned fund balance right now, we're still at 18.4% compared to expense, so that's in very good shape. We always try to keep it between 15 and 18, and we're over 18 at this point.
That's down on page 38 for anybody following the PDF.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's a very good, I think it's the highest we've hit on that percentage in assigned fund balance that I've seen printed.
Bill, can you review for us the earmarks we've got on that right now? because we've talked about a number of things we plan to spend on that.
Right now, that's impacting that percentage. We have the are you saying besides the ones that I've listed on the actual?
Yeah, because it seems to me we had some others that we talked about expecting to come in that are not on your list.
Yeah, we talked about potentially some from the PFAS file, I believe.
Well, PFAS, we really don't know at the moment. I mean, that's a possibility, but that's really, we just don't know what that number is going to be. The main one that I don't see on here that we talked about is $125,000 for purchasing the property, 37 Bridge Street, the state property. That one isn't, I don't believe is listed on here. We did say at some point we believe that would probably come out of the undesignated fund balance, and that may be closer. I think when we go to purchase it, there's probably some things fencing and other things we're going to need for it. So that number may be closer to, say, 135. But that number's not in here.
Can we have a quick update? What is, I'll say the holdup, or why is the state dragging their feet on it? Do you know?
The state's not dragging their feet. We had to have some pretty spirited conversations with the abutters of the property. They are primary users of it. And so we had to work some things out with them. Right now we need to get a survey, which we Board of Selectmen authorized going forward and hiring one. And I communicated one today that's going to come out and do a survey. The reason we need a survey is because there's going to have to be a couple of different transactions with this. We're going to need to get an easement from the abutter so that we can use the boat launch that is there, and they're actually going to need an easement from us, so they have the right to use the boat launch also. So we'll have
I'm sorry to interrupt. When you say a survey, you're talking about a land survey.
A land survey. Right.
Okay, thank you.
The meets and bounds land survey. To determine the areas of the easements, because they haven't been determined yet. Okay. And then also, we're conveying a small piece of property over to 41 Bridge Street. There's the part of that lot is a very small spur of it that juts out into the abutter's property. We're going to cut that off and convey it to the abutter, and then convey mutual easements so that everybody has the right to use the boat ramp.
Okay.
That needs to be put on a survey. Plus, we want to put pins in, because I think we're going to put up a very low-level fence to distinguish the public property from the private property. And so if we put the pins in as part of the survey, we'll know where to put the fence.
All right. Thanks for saying that. Those new people on the board, just a little history. We had discussed that when it comes to buying this property, we're probably going to take it out of the fund balance to the town for the vote, for the citizens to make a vote on transfer the money. Just a little history for you guys.
Ken, before we move on, I think we also had an earmark in here of money for the field over at the high school, but it looks like that's been moved over to the ARPA money.
No, we already, that should have already come out, right, Bill? Because that was approved at a town meeting.
So it's already out of the fund balance?
If it's already approved earlier in the year, it should be out. I'll have to take a look.
Well, last December we had a town meeting. We approved it to come out of fund balance, so that should already be out. That should be out.
I didn't think it was out yet, so I thought we talked about that recently, and
As soon as the board approved, as soon as it was approved at a town meeting, it should have come out.
Right.
Okay. I'll review those.
I was with Flemexter along with Sarah on this, because somehow I thought it'd be in this list.
Except we're still 19.4, so I think we're going to pull out my stuff from last month.
We're good right now. That's why I don't have a problem of using the money for Bridge Street on this. I've got a feeling the ball field series old history, and you and I are just
It should be. Yeah, like I said, I'll review it and I'll send the email out tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, just
I'll confirm.
Good. Yeah, just that we're at 18.4 and there is money in the ARPA listing for that field. And I just was wondering if it had been moved from one to the other, because if it came out of here, I would think it would have knocked us back from 18.4. It's just striking me as higher than what I was expecting. But if you
the money that's in ARPA is the money that's above and beyond that what was originally approved by the town meeting. That's additional funding.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you said that, Bob, because that's how I understood it. Thank you. Okay, anybody else have any questions or anything? Andrew and Tom, you guys okay?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Enjoying so far.
Yes, good. All right. So this brings us down to the annual report for the Board of Education, November 2021. I don't know who wants to speak, but welcome Lou and welcome Kevin. And welcome Donna.
Good evening, everybody. Donna will go over the monthly financials for November.
Okay, and for those following the package, it's page 39 for the highlights.
Okay, so some of you heard this, some of these things before. What I did was I highlighted some areas of negativity, but I want to point out that right now we have no concerns. We think we're going to have positive dollars in other areas to cover these by year end. But I've said before about the certified salaries unfavorability of about $42,000. And that's the additional pre-K teacher due to increased enrollment. We have some unfavorability in non-certified salaries. 23 and change is due to para positions, both due to need and also IDEA restrictions preventing funding by a grant. And 13,000, almost 14,000 really, about for additional bus monitors due to need. So again, we're hoping to cover those areas, those issues with funds throughout the year.
Interject right here real fast.
Sure.
Additional bus monitors, are you talking cameras or are you talking human bodies?
Human bodies. Yeah.
Is there, just elaborate on it? I know you guys made the call on that. Why?
Well, there's been, especially in the beginning of the year, the buses were kind of running into each other, being late and such, because of mainly due to COVID. With the high school would start out by having the buses, they have to wait before the students can go inside, and kind of made everybody a little bit later. So they needed more monitors to help kind of move kids along and that kind of thing. In addition to some IEP concerns where they needed additional bus monitors.
Okay, thank you. And I hope you said buses running into each other was a metaphor.
Yes. Probably not the best usage of terms there.
I just want to clarify. I when I think of a bus monitor, I think of somebody on the bus while the bus is moving. So you're not talking about that. You're talking about people to be out there to wave the buses in and out. No.
Yeah, there's some bus some buses have monitors on them, and also like especially at Cherry Brook. They also have some monitors, kind of moving kids along, putting them on in the cars at the end of the day, getting them off the buses at the beginning of the day kind of thing.
Thank you, Donna, for your response. Just remember, Board of Finances, we're looking at the financial side of this.
Right.
You got to make the call with the monitors. So, okay, go ahead. And now we're down to special education expenses.
Okay. Yep. Special education. There's some notable negativity there. 16,000 for an Oak Hill nurse salary higher than budgeted. And that's mainly because of a student needs one-on-one nurse on the bus. So that kind of increased her hours and the cost associated with that. Another almost $18,000 due to professional services. And that was for hearing impaired students and also increase in prices of SoundBridge too. 21.6 in negativity for additional students transported to magnet schools. And then of course, the famous moving targets. We have out of district tuition and out of district transportation. And these are the two accounts that can, you know, change from day to day, moment to moment, depending upon whether students move into the district, out of the district. So it can be very volatile at times. But this these two items are covered, more than covered, by our excess cost reimbursement expected. Right now, actually the 479 in negativity is actually reduced since that day, I think about 70,000, if I'm not mistaken. And then we're actually positive in out of district transportation right now, but that net is a negative 425 and we expect a reimbursement of 525. Okay, so basically the message there is that we're covered and we anticipate to be that way through the end of the year. Other expenses, there was an unexpected roof repair at CIS to the tune of almost $10,000, but I think Tom has had some discussions, although I think we have to kind of bring that through and talk about the CIP. He had indicated that he had some discussions about getting that covered with an existing CIP. So we just haven't fine-tuned that and gone through the motions, et cetera. Rental equipment and leasing, that's due to our space concerns, mainly additional pods needed at Cherry Brook to house some furniture and other things due to social distancing and COVID and, you know, not using desks or tables, but going back to desks, et cetera, et cetera. So we had to get an additional couple pods that been anticipated for that. And transportation insurance, that was just budgeted before we kind of knew what it was. As well as the property and liability insurance.
Right. Okay. Just a quick question on those pods. Is this more curiosity questions?
Mm-hmm.
Where are they physically at? Are they physically at Cherry Brook?
They're physically at Cherry Brook, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I'm looking, thinking more of a security side of it. That's more of a curiosity question. Thank you.
Right, sure. Any more questions? That covers the general fund.
How many pods are we talking?
Oh gosh, I'm not sure. I'm more into the dollar numbers instead of quantity, but I think it's four, but Kevin can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, Donna, you are correct. There are four. And the reason for that is because in order for there to be social distancing in the classroom, we had to move out last year some classroom materials. And last year we put them on one side of the gym, but this year we wanted to be able to utilize the full gymnasium. So that's why we needed to have these storage units in place.
Thank you for that. I didn't know that part, Kevin.
Well, thank you, because this is actually the first time I knew you guys were using pods. So it's like, this is an interesting subject.
Ken, last year we used the term storage units. So pods is a different word this year. So
I'm sure. Storage units, I'm thinking closets.
I understand. No, I understand.
Gotcha. I'm sorry. I didn't know the terminology from last year.
That's okay. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Andrew. I should say Andrew L, because we got two Andrews now on the Board of Finance. So Andrew L. Yes, you mentioned there at the top that it's your certified salaries, your almost negative 42,000, got the additional demand for pre-K. additional enrollment there. Is the Board of Ed looking at what that additional pre-K enrollment will do to the upcoming kindergarten enrollment for the upcoming school year? And if so, is there anything financially that the Board of Finance needs to be made aware of, any additional demand for money with regards to that increased enrollment making its way through the elementary school?
Good question, Andrew, because I just want to tack on, I don't want to answer his question, but I want to tack on, Kevin. If I remember right, through history is, we'll be following this additional teacher up through the grades. So go ahead and answer, thank you. If I'm right, clarify that.
Yeah, so Andrew and Ken, that's uncertain at this point. We are working closely with a group called NESDEC, New England School Development Council, who helps us every year with our enrollment projections. So they do enrollment projections for us for the next 10 years. I expect to have that report next week. And we're also working with NESDEC, who is doing a space study with us. I have a meeting with them tomorrow. So they're analyzing all of our space in all of our buildings to ensure that we're using all of our space efficiently. Every single space available at Cherry Brook Primary School is currently being used, so we're looking at what our options are moving forward. To answer your question specifically about how many kindergarten classes next year, that is still an unknown, but during budget time by February, we will make our guest projection at that time and keep you informed.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the general fund?
No, I don't have any unless you want to expand on the grant parts or the parking. I've had a very interesting read on the parking. It's actually.
On the bottom of that. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, that's a different. Yeah, that I call it. That's the consolidated fund, and that is a balance as part of the consolidated fund of 27,971. That comes from high school student parkers, and traditionally that is reinvested into like the parking area or thereabouts at the high school. And right now, the high school, as well as I believe some student reps, are determining what to do with those funds.
Okay, well, thank you. Kevin, have we always charged for parking at the high school? Okay, so my kids are doing it illegal then. Okay, thank you.
There was a little bit, in all honesty, you know, last year during COVID, there was a little bit of trouble kind of, you know, figuring out who had what and who paid what and that kind of thing, because the fees were broken down a lot differently. But normally it's $100 per student for the full year. It goes down $25 per quarter. In case you want to pay that bill.
Donald, take a check.
They've been out for 20 years and they got
off spot. Right.
So, thanks for briefing me on that, because I wasn't really up to speed on that. It's nothing that's come before the Board of Finance. And so I found it a little intriguing to get myself up to speed. What are they being charged? How it works? Who's doing the money and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's nice that the students themselves are in control of that, or they have the input on that.
They definitely have the input, for sure, with some advisors.
Thank you.
And to go back to the grant, we skipped over the grant part there. There is one grant for textbooks. There's actually a portion of a grant for textbooks that's broken down between CHS and CMS. And CMS, I believe, I'm working on kind of a refund and working with that to get that back down to even Stephen between the two of them. So,
okay. So the price we're looking at there is not the total cost of the books, but the difference between the grant and what the books are costing.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, if for some, to be clear on that. Okay,
yeah. If for some reason I can't work out the the refund piece of this, and it was really a misquote and kind of a little bit of miscommunication, I think, with one of the vendors in the middle school. If I can't work that out, there's a chance we might have to cover it elsewhere unless we find another grant. So we'll see. It's TBD.
That's okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Let's see. This brings us down to page 32, or 52 of our package for those people following along. And if I can type it in correctly, I can jump to that page. Okay, this is, well, must have written it down wrong. I must be lost. Board of Selectmen updates and referrals. That's where I was trying to go. And I think that takes us right into
58.
Yeah, 58. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. I wrote it down wrong.
It starts on 56, but the meeting it starts on 58.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
ARPA.
I think that's the ARPA funding. Okay. Just a little bit of background on this. Back in, I think it was March of last year, the federal government came up with the ARPA plan, which is the Emergency Assistance Plan for COVID spending. They gave out $3 billion, something like that, of which the town of Canton is going to receive $3 million. To spend on COVID-related matters. We received the first $1.5 million in June. We received the next $1.5 million next June. In about July, August, it was referred by the Board of Selectmen over to the CIP Committee to review how to expend those funds. The CIP Committee is made up of members of the Board of Finance, Board of Selectmen, Board of Education, and a number of town staff. It was reviewed at that time, and then the kind of the meat of the expenditures and the plan that you have in front of you was what was approved, recommended by the CIP committee. It then went to the Board of Selectmen. The Board of Selectmen, at least as a first draft, endorsed it and sent it on to the Board of Finance for Board of Finance's initial comments. The Board of Finance had a couple of comments related to, there's one question about some of the capital projects and were they too expensive? Then there was a kind of a comment about additional funding for both businesses and for some of the nonprofits. So those comments were brought back to the Board of Selectmen. The Board of Selectmen did modify the proposal by reducing the CIS recreational field renovation by $65,000, adding $40,000 to the local shuttered tourism grant proposal, and then $25,000 to the business stability fund. At that point, thereafter, they set it for a public hearing. They had a public hearing on the plan. There were a couple of people who commented on it. One of the comments involved increasing funding for Mills Pond playground equipment to repair or replace that equipment. So based on some of those comments and some additional information, the Board of Selectmen made the additional changes. One is they appropriated or recommended appropriating $75,000 for playground repair and replacement at Mills Pond, and then an additional $50,000 for the Little League field that's going to be constructed over at the high school. Obviously, that field became a little more imperative with the passing of the fire station, which will be constructed where the Little League field currently exists. We put that project out to bid twice, and the bids were considerably higher than where they were when we got proposals a year and a half ago. To give you one example, one of the proposals that we had about 18 months ago was $400,000 to construct the field. That same company bid on it in the last round of RFPs, and the bid was $800,000, double what the proposal was just 18 months ago. The average bid over the two RFPs that we put out one RFP, rejected them all, put it back out again. They all came in right around the same, right around 700, 800,000. So at this point, we just don't have that much money, even with the additional funding in the ARPA account. We still would only have about 525,000 total. So what we've determined to do is that we're basically going to kind of take the project over as a town. DPW will oversee it. We broke up some of the RFP proposals that we got back and took segments of them, the low bids from different RFPs. So the fence will come from one company. The grubbing and clearing will come from another company. We're going to run a large backhoe and some other pieces of equipment, bulldozer, to level the field. So when we take the project over, we break it up, we basically GC it, we think we'll be able to get it done for the 525,000, actually about 500,000, which would be covered by the additional ARPA funding. So it's going to cost more, but it's going to cost less than what if we had just gone with the low bid, which was somewhere around 730 or 740,000, somewhere in there. So, but those were the changes that were made by the Board of Selectmen. And so now it comes back to the Board of Finance. The Board of Finance has another opportunity to take a look at it. And then if you can, you know, recommend changes and then send it back to the Board of Selectmen, the Board of Selectmen would then set it for a town meeting and the town would have the eventual say on it. It's been kind of a long process, so but it's had, you know, plenty of chances for people to comment on it along the way.
Correct. And I want this board to take the point of view that we're going to do a final look at it tonight and the final say to give it to Board of Selectmen so they can roll with this. We've already had it before us. We did talk about it, I know, extensively last month. I do see a number of the changes that we talked about here. I'm going to say, I'm going to open up to my board. Do we have any input from anybody on this? I see Katie's hand. Go ahead, Katie.
Yeah, the main input is just appreciation for the changes that have been made. I really think it's great that you listened to what we said and to what the public said and adjusted the numbers accordingly. I did have one question, and that was, it's still the case that on the fire department air packs, it says that if the grant comes in, then that money won't come out of the ARPA funding. And I wondered if you could tell us when you think we would know about that.
Yeah, there's two things on the air packs. One is exactly what you said. There is a grant that we applied for. We've actually applied for, I think, three grants in total. Two have been denied, one's still outstanding. I had the chief check on it last week. There's still no response to it, and we don't know when they'll award it, if ever.
Okay, if the grant did come in theory, that would be another fairly large chunk of money, another, I guess, $360,000 that would either go into the reserve fund or potentially could be used to fund some of the other items that didn't get funded the first in this round?
That's correct. Any expenditure that we don't spend would go back into essentially reserve and be able to use for other projects. The one other thing that I do want to mention about the air packs, though, and we sent it to you as part of these documents, was that the latest estimate for those air packs have gone up considerably. The estimate now is $578,500. Which is a $218,500 increase over what it was, I don't know, about a year and a half ago, which was the last numbers we had. So, and that's, you know, a mandate that we have to have those air packs. So somewhere we got to come up with the additional $218,000.
So we may end up needing the money from both sources. Even if we get the grant, we might need to spend the ARPA funding on air packs as well.
Right, exactly. Or if you don't get the grant, then you may have to either increase the amount from ARPA for the air packs or take the difference out of the fund balance, one or the other, because they do have to have those air packs, as that's my understanding.
And my only other thought was, since there is still a fair amount in the reserve fund, one of the things that did not get funded was the $25,000 for showers at the community center. And I know that was something that the police and emergency folks thought was pretty important for making that an emergency shelter that would be more effective for the town. And it compared to a lot of these other things, it seemed like a relatively small amount. So I just wondered if there's any thought about maybe including that.
I can tell you that's been a high priority of CERT, community emergency response team. They're a large group of volunteers that help out at major events and storms and other things, and they've really been pushing for that. And it would kind of complete the community center right now, using it as an emergency center, because right now, what we've had to do in the past is we have showers up in Mills Pond, which, you know, barely works during an October storm. It won't work during the December or January ice storm. There's no heat up there. So we do have that kind of a hole in our emergency response if we need emergency shelter in the winter.
Yeah, we can certainly take that up at the Board of Selectmen meeting on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bob, I have a quick question on I know there's improvements to the CIS fields, and I know Canton Soccer's had discussions with the town, some town officials, and with the fire department. And I see also along the road, I think that comes into play too, because I think that may have been discussed. But I guess any movement in terms of, you know, Canton Youth Soccer, I think, facilitates, you know, youth programming and soccer for several hundred kids up through various ages. And just wondering, I know there's been some, I don't call it tension or turmoil, or trying to get some resolution in terms of space, and just wanted to see where that lies in this, with the reserve funding.
Now, from what I understand, there was a rather productive meeting between the Soccer Association and the corporation. I have not heard the results from that. Bob, have you heard anything since that meeting?
No, I heard just generally that it was productive. They're looking to get a long-term lease agreement with the association to be able to use Memorial Fields. If they can get a long-term lease agreement, then they would be able to do capital improvements there and, you know, invest the money, realize that they're going to be able to use the field for a long period of time. Their own estimate to do Lawton Road is soccer, to make a soccer field on Lawton Road, and this is the estimate they told us, it was $1.6 million. So it gives you some idea of the funding it would take to do that field. Our own estimate was $900,000. They said they estimated at $1.6
million. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I don't think you need a vote on this. Correct.
Yeah, no, actually, you should vote. The way we've approached this, and some towns approach it differently, I guess it depends on your charter and other things, but we've looked at it as if it's almost a regular appropriation out of fund balance, so that the recommended program operation would come from the Board of Selectmen. Board of Finance basically approves the expenditure and where it's coming from, sends it back to Board of Selectmen, and Board of Selectmen then votes to take it to a town meeting. So I think a general vote of, if nothing else, an endorsement of the ARPA plan with the additional $25,000 for showers, if you want to take that route, I think that's fine. And then send it back to the Board of Selectmen to be set for a town meeting.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? If there are some substantial changes, such as if that grant comes in for the EMS stuff, would we then see the list again for the things coming in off the not included list, excepting the showers, which we talked about? Or should we talk about those also right now?
Yeah, the way I look at this, and again, I mean, that might be a question for auditors or town attorney, but the way I looked at it is this is basically very similar to the CIP. Mm-hmm. So if there's a project within the CIP and that project is closed out, that's funding that could be reappropriated again by the Board of Selectmen or Board of Education. so that, you know, I mean, obviously they should tell you and maybe take comments from you, but they would have authority to reappropriate it. The reserve, on the other hand, I believe the reserve would need to go back through the same process again. So we're only appropriating the funds that are in these programs. The reserve would come back and have to seek your approval and go through the same process. If it's something that's already been approved by the town meeting, then that can be reappropriated by the Board of Selectmen.
Thank you. That said, can I ask a couple questions about the not included list? What is the High Street Depot?
Oh, that's that train station right near your house. The one, what's the name of Dyer?
It's the
Dyer and
Allen Place, that one?
Yeah. That one.
Okay. And what's going to be done with it?
Well, we're not entirely sure yet. We've got a very active group of volunteers. We're really excited about doing some things with it, but we have we'll have to talk with the current landowner. Half that building sits on town land. The other half is sitting on a butter. And a butter claim.
Who owns that? That's weird. Okay.
Yeah, half of it. They own half of it. So we will be meeting with them in early January to talk about how we can resolve that issue. And once we do that, then we'll start to have a clearer idea of what we will actually do with the High Street Junction Station.
I'm glad to see that there. That is a historic building, and if you don't do something, it's going to fall down.
Oh, yeah.
Need more every time I look at it. Okay, I also wanted to ask about the turbine restoration. So this is that historic turbine that is restoring it so we don't lose it. Is there any match coming in from the museum or any other source for that? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is just like preserving the turbine. It's not providing anywhere to put the turbine, is it? Or not allowing for public access to look at it? It's just to sort of keep it from deteriorating, or am I mistaken?
No, the plan actually is to build a structure that it would sit under. So it'd be a cement slab. The turbine would be sit on that cement slab, then it'd be kind of a small pavilion roof put over the top of it to help preserve it. And then also, somebody's got to come in, and we have to, there's a special product you use to kind of sandblast it to try to get the concrete off of it, because it was encased in concrete at the bottom of the shaft, and to try to clean it up so it resembles something else in a kind of hunk of metal. And then we put up a sign that indicates, you know, what it is and what it was used for and that kind of thing. So no, it is part of actually restoring it, presenting it, and making it a, you know, valuable artifact for people to look at. We got communications with the hydro owners, and they've indicated they would be willing to have it housed on their property so that people who go to the hydro there to either look at the fish ladder or look at the facility would have the ability to look at the turbine at that time too.
But that clarify, that's not anything to do with the HARPA funds, right?
It's not. Basically, what we did is we listed those things that could be part of the ARPA funding, but we didn't include in it so that people would have an idea that, okay, these other things are out there, you know, that they weren't included, but they're just expenditures we know that are coming down the road. We know it's going to cost something to preserve that turbine, and the Board of Selectmen has indicated that they want it done, so somehow it's going to have to be funded.
Okay.
And again, eventually the ARPA funding all needs to be spent before 2024, right? We can't, this reserve fund is not a forever reserve fund.
It absolutely is not. But it's good to have a reserve fund only if something goes over. If, you know, let's face it, we are far from out of the issues with COVID. So there could be other expenditures that come up down the road, or well, we may need additional money for nonprofits or additional money for the wellness type funds. So, you know, we just need to make sure they have reserved to pay for additional things.
Yeah, and just so you know, the funds need to be allocated by 2024.
Okay, but not spent.
Expended by 2026.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I want to I think we've gone over the board. The Board of Finance has gone over this. We've given our opinion, and I would like to go ahead with the vote for approval for this ARCA plan, with the addition of the $25,000K for showers. I don't exactly know how to word this, unless somebody wants. So I'm going to take a motion for this.
Go ahead. Yeah, the total expenditures on page 62 at the bottom. It's just a little over 2.5 million. Does that include the 25,000 for the showers?
It does not.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Hold on here. Let me do some quick math here for a motion. All right, so 2,50,863. Okay. All right. Let me see here. Let me try for a motion here. Let me see if I can do this. I'd make a motion that the Board of Finance approve the projects included in the ARPA funding program for the total amount of $2,535,863, which does include an additional $25,000 for showers at which building again? I'm sorry.
Community Center
building. How's that sound?
It sounds pretty good, but I want to clarify. I think it does not include the showers.
The number I read off does include the showers. I added $25,000 to the total expenditures in our packet.
All right, run that number by me again.
I proposed $2,535,863.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Yep.
Second.
Motion was seconded by Sarah. Final discussion by anybody? Andrew Zimba, you have an input on this?
Yeah, I would just say I'm going to abstain because I'm not quite certain or familiar about all the details and the discussion that was had prior to today.
Okay, that you're right. Tom? You have an input on this?
No input, thank you.
Okay. Just curious, will you be abstaining from the vote?
No, I will not.
Okay. All right, so this time we're going to go ahead and take a vote. Vote for approval of the motion. Raise or say aye.
This is Andrew L. Aye.
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 Okay. We have 5 for the motion, and we have 1 abstention. By Andrew Zimmerman.
Okay. And just so everyone's aware, the total reserve then with the additional amount would be just under $500,000 being total reserve, like $498,000 roughly.
Right. Yeah, because I'm looking at the number and I subtracted that. Mm-hmm. You added the one above that. I'm on page 62 there. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for pointing that out, Andrew. Okay, so this is what brings us down to on page 70. We have a grant for the Connecticut Department of Transportation to fund the handicap vehicle.
About every 5 years or so, we apply for a DOT dollar eye grant. It's called the 5310 grant. And usually it funds 80% of the cost of the new dollar eye vehicle. Our current dollar ride vehicle is 5 years old and it fits within the parameters of what it takes. The vehicle has to be in order to get a new vehicle. And so it usually is kind of a long process to go through to get the new vehicle. So we applied for the grant, applied for it under a new category that actually pays 100% of the vehicle, and we were approved. So the grant pays up to, I think it's $71,000 for the new dollar ride vehicle, handicap accessible dollar ride vehicle, which would be very similar to one that we currently have, and would replace the one that we currently have. And again, it does appear that we could get a vehicle for that amount. So it should pay 100% of the cost of that vehicle. Because it's over, I don't think it's 50,000, it needs to be approved by both the Board of Selectmen, which they have, and now the Board of Finance. And so if the Board of Finance approves it, that would be final approval for the grant.
Okay, we're going to go right down through the my checklist here. Do I have anybody in the board have a motion to go ahead and accept this grant?
I move that we accept this grant. Do we need it worded more carefully, or is that?
No, I think that's fine. I don't know how to word it. So I'll take a second on this.
A second.
Okay, who's that? Tom, did you second it? Okay,
yes.
Tom seconded. Okay, so last point for discussion. I don't have a problem. So I think this is about the third time I voted for this, a grant for the Dial-A-Ride. So I don't see any hands. So we're going to go into the vote now. So all in favor, raise your hand and say hi.
Andrew L. Aye.
Aye. Okay. Let it show the vote wasn't unanimous. Okay, so that takes us, that one's out of the way. Now we're going down to COP, the capital improvement project request submitted by the public. That's on page 74.
Pursuant to our CIP procedures, around November 1st, we put out a request to the public looking for their recommendations for capital improvement plan projects. This year we received a variety of different requests. You have in your package, many of them were associated with roads. People still have concerns about the condition of the road. And a few other projects mixed in there too, but we like to give it to you in advance of the budget. And then, as we go over the CIP at budget time, certainly you should refer back to that list to see what, people's priorities were that they sent in.
Okay, well, thank you. I did read through these. For those of you new to the Board of Finance, when we read these things, when we receive these things, it's diligent on your part to read them. You do not have to agree, but as part of your, you get paid a lot of money to sit in this board, and I expect you to read. Thank you. Okay, going from there, we're now on the Board of Education for updates and referrals. So I turn it back over to the Board of Education.
Ken, thank you. Good evening, everybody. Congratulations, Mr. Ziemba and Mr. Bletchley, for being elected to the Board of Finance, and Sarah, congratulations on your re-election. I did want to introduce Donna, who already presented. For our new Board of Finance members, Donna Misikowski is our business official for the Board of Education. Her official title is Assistant to the Superintendent for Financial Affairs. So I wanted to make sure you had a chance to meet Donna this evening. I have one update for you, and that has to do with our budget development process. We are in the midst of developing the budget for the fiscal 22-23 year, and our administrators will be presenting their budget request to the Board of Education on Wednesday night, January 12th, beginning at 6 p.m. And as always, I would like any Board of Finance member who would like to come to the meeting to hear what those requests are, as the Board of Ed hears them for the first time as well.
Thank you very much. I was going to ask you about that, and I appreciate you saying that. I'll survey my board and see who wants to join me, because I will be going to that. Okay, thank you, Kevin. Go ahead.
You're welcome. This is a chance for the Board of Education to hear what all of the budget requests are that the administrators have. It does not mean that all of those requests will be part of my proposed budget, which I will present to the Board of Ed on February 8th, but it's a chance for the Board of Ed and community here to hear what the needs are. So if you could save that date, that's Wednesday, January 12th.
At the high school?
It will be, the location will be yet to be determined.
Okay, thank you.
We'll let you know.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions for me?
I don't at this time. Does anybody from the Board of Finance have a question? This is the time to ask the Board of Education your questions, concerns. Okay. So, thanks.
Okay, thanks, everybody.
Okay, thank you. So, all right. All right, that takes us down to new business.
Of course, the new business is the new players we have. We have quite a few. And so I welcome all the new elected officials that are sitting on the board tonight. Welcome to the Board of Finance. For those of you who are not familiar, you'll notice how many people from the public we have on our boards, and that's about our average. So thank you. Luckily, we're not the Board of Selectmen, the Board of Education, so we have almost no flaming arrows shot at us. So we're very lucky. So, okay. I'll Bob Bessel. You don't have any new business?
I have none.
Okay. And then Lou Daniels hasn't said anything, so I will ask Lou. Lou, do you have any new business?
It's a pleasure to start attending these meetings again. So very okay. Interesting. Thank you for having me, and congratulations, Ken, on being chair.
Thank you.
You're going to lose your hair.
I hope not. It's already found out. Kids already razzed me about that. Okay, so this brings us down to our minutes from the November 15th.
Sorry, guys. Could I jump in with one other question?
Go ahead.
There was another item, I think, in the Board of Selectmen referrals that we didn't talk about, and that was the dispatch console and police radio equipment upgrade. That was where we think we into a mill rate equivalent, so we have kind of a sense of what it would mean for us and what it would, you know, we'll either have to take it out of something else or we'd have to come up with the money for it one way or another. So I just was interested in.
Thank you for saying that, Katie, and you're talking about the mill rate. We've, I think, let Bob Bessel tell us or Bill that we lost Sherbrooke Health Center. It's now
nonprofit.
Yeah, right. Thank you. I was having a senior moment there. It's nonprofit. That lowers our it hits our mill rate. So I'll turn it over to Bob Bessel.
At this point, I think this is for your information only. The Board of Selectmen has not considered this, has not considered how we're going to tackle it. Bob Skinner and I have chatted about it a bit, and we will be kicking it around with the Board of Selectmen. I believe it's on this coming agenda. Bob?
It's not on the next coming agenda, but the reason I put it in there is because it's very similar to those. We would have actually had it as one of the projects that is not being funded at the end of that list, but it literally came up as part of the budget submission, which came in just a few days ago or a few days before you got the package. So I wanted to throw it in there so that you guys knew on your horizon that this was out there. Because I didn't want to have, you know, why wasn't this brought up when we were discussing ARPA or something like that? So I said, look, put it in the package so at least they know it's out there, it's what's coming. I wasn't anticipating it. It was a surprise to me. We know that the dispatch console and the hardware and software that go with it is very old. It was purchased used from Bloomfield when the police station was constructed. So that gives you some idea of the age of that equipment. It came before the Board of Finance, let's say 5 or 6 years ago. Had a little bit less, but it was still around a $300,000 or $350,000 expenditure. At that time, the Board of Finance said no, and we were able to find a patch for a little bit less to keep it going. But it is definitely reaching its end of life, and it is something that we're going to have to look at and try to find, you know, how to fund it. But I just put it in there literally so you wouldn't be blindsided by it, you know, wondering why you didn't know about it when we were looking at ARPA or some other things. So it just came kind of across my radar screen again, so I wanted to make sure that you had it. That's why I was in the package.
Thank you, Bob, and for those of just about everybody on the board who's not old like me. This has that console and that PlayStation does raise its head every number of the years, and we have been. And I remember when we just approved the 300,000, so it's like, so I'm reliving this over again. So this is not a new item, other than it just came up. But I know we were aware of it for a while. But this console is aged. So, all right. So with that said, before I move on to the minutes, does anybody have anything else other than new business? If not,
Ken, if I could, the only other two things I would add is one that Town Bridge is finished. For the while, 98% of it is open to the public. We are still doing the finances from it. Expenditures come up every now and then. We just got another $20,000 bill last week we weren't expecting. But hopefully by the next meeting, I'll have a detail of where we come out on the bridge. At one point, we thought we were going to do that $150,000 over. But it looks like now that number is trending in the right direction. I think we'll be under $100,000. So, you know, compared to where we could have been on that, we won't be too bad. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is that the hydro facility became operational over the weekend. They were commissioned, which means that they now are running water through the turbine. They are producing power. They have not completed the crest gates yet, which are the gates that go over the dam that will raise the water level. So right now it's just literally run of the river, whatever the river brings down flows through. But they are actually producing power. Again, there are still some things they have to do to complete that structure, but it is operational. So those are, you know, two decade long projects that are finally starting to, you know, come to the end. So just wanted to give you an update on that.
Is the fish ladder operational yet, or are they still working on that?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't been over there to take a look at it, quite frankly. So I'm not sure. I just got they sent me an email, and I met with the contractors this morning, and they talked about it being, you know, obviously operational. And you'll see, actually, the water level in the river's gone down a little bit, too. That's why it'd be good when you get the crest gates up and get the water level back up in the river.
Yep. All right.
This is Andrew. Go ahead. Just a quick question. Any update on the Axe Factory overall?
Not at this time. We're still waiting on the submission of plans to the land use agencies for them to conduct their review. We've been told by the developer that he has every intention of moving forward with it. There is a deadline of I'd say, was it February of this coming year, to complete the land transfer process. And we're confident that will happen. But that's about it at this point.
Okay.
Good. That's good news. So he's still going. He's still going with it. It's still a viable project for him to keep going.
That's his intention. Yep.
Good. That's going to be good news down the road. All right. I'm seeing silence on the board and everybody else, thank you, because I can see you all on my computer screen. So this brings us down to the minutes from November 15th. Let's see, you answered the questions I have there. I have one down here. You, Donna, I know you're there. From the minutes, we had a question there. The paralegal negotiations were settled and were ratified within the next week. That was from last meeting.
The contract was actually signed on Friday. So those paras will be given their retroactive payroll adjustments on the 31st payroll.
Okay. Do you have percentage on that for us, or what their increase was?
Gosh, what was it? Was it Kevin?
Yes. Yeah, so over the So for the 3-year period, the total percentage of wage increase is 10% over 3 years. And while the average is coming in close to 3%, the reason for the additional increase is because we were paying on the first two steps of the wage scale, we were paying less than minimum wage. So these were challenging negotiations because we needed to bring all of the hourly rates up to at least the new minimum wage, which went into effect this past August 1st. And the minimum wage will continue to increase during the duration of this contract. So it was a very challenging contract, but we ended up doing very well, negotiating a fair contract. But the wage increase is 10% over a 3-year period. The employees will be paying an additional 0.5 percentage point in the cost share of their insurance premiums for both the health savings account, medical insurance, as well as dental.
Okay.
I have to say, I came in on the tail end of that, and Kevin was like fantastic. So it was a good negotiation.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that about the minimum wage, because you know, I was holding myself back there, I'm like 10%. So thank you for clarifying that, what it is. And I
we'll talk further about this when we review December's financial report a month from now, because you'll see the implications of the wage settlement, because we did settle at a higher percentage than we budgeted for. So we'll be having those conversations next month as well.
Okay. All right, thank you. Yeah, because I don't have any memory of budgeting for a 10% increase.
Ken, just a reminder, that's over 3 years.
Right, it's over 3 years, understand that, yeah. Okay, I have another question here I have highlighted. It's, never mind, we already answered that question. So does anybody from the board of finance who is here on November 15th. Would anybody, for those two members of the new Board of Finance, you can vote on the minutes from last month. It is my tradition that if you weren't here, you would abstain. I'm going to let you make your own decision what you want to do. Right now, I'm going to take a motion to accept the meetings from November 15th. And I say, so Sarah, a second. Katie? Oh, did you have anything? Go ahead, yeah. Katie.
No, just seconding. Yep.
Okay, just a second. Okay, the discussion, I think I already did the discussion beforehand. So I'll take the vote now for the meetings, the November 15th meeting being accepted. Go ahead.
Andrew, aye.
Okay, aye. Katie's aye, Sarah's aye. All right, so that's 4 and with 2 abstentions on that.
Correct.
Okay, so you do have information package in there from Board of Education and Board of Selectmen. Bill, I'm trying to find it, moved on my screen, there it is, okay. You can put these packages together, because I just wanted to point out the right middle of our package was a duplicate of the Board of Selectmen's meeting. It was in there twice. Just wanted to point that out to you. It's like, oh, interesting.
Ken, I had him put that in there, because that's the section where the Board of Selectmen discussed the ARPA funding.
Okay.
So I wanted to point that out. So if you had any questions as to why they did what they did, it's outlined in those minutes. They're pretty good minutes.
Right.
So I put it in there for that purpose.
Okay. All right. Well, that clarifies that. I just pointing that out. So our next upcoming meeting is January 24th and February 28th. And for those that are new to the meetings, they haven't slipped.
because our normal time usually falls on a federal holiday for January and February. And at this time, real fast, before I close the meeting, I don't know how to word the questions or bring it up, whether we should meet in person for January or keep it at a Zoom meeting. But right now, with the way things are going with the pandemic, I'm going to say, let's assume it's going to be a Zoom meeting, unless you hear otherwise. Does anybody have any input on that for our meeting for January? And I think what we'll do is we're going to take this a month-by-month action. Every meeting, we'll talk about the following month, what we should do. Katie or Sarah? Katie, I think I saw your hand first.
Just nodding. I think that makes sense. Thank you, Ken.
Okay, Sarah, did you have an input?
Yeah, it does make sense. In fact, I'd recommend we just nail it down for a Zoom for January, because I think that's what we're going to be doing. It might be nice to just know ahead of time.
Right. Well, this is what I'm saying. For January, let's make it a Zoom meeting, unless you get notified by Mayor Bill or Bob, the Bobs. You know, otherwise, it's going to be a Zoom meeting for January. So is that okay with you, Mr. Scare and Mr. Bessel?
Sure.
And yep. Mr. Case?
Makes sense to me.
Mr. Dan?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so everybody's comfortable with that. I will then, at this time, have a motion for adjournment in this meeting. Seeing none, I've took the motion then to adjourn, so I need a second.
It was Anderson.
Okay, Andrew has seconded it. Okay, yeah, all in favor for terminating the meeting, raise your hand or say aye.
Thanks. No, aye.
It's unanimous. Thank you very much, everybody.
Congratulations, Ken. Congratulations, Andrew.
Thank you.
Happy holidays to everyone.